If it has a score, we cover it more. From football to lacrosse, hockey to baseball, we've got what you want. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome. We're a bit punchy today. Well, welcome to the Football Friday episode of the Rod Peterson Show. What? Episode 250. Yeah. How are you, Dukes?
I'm great.
Paul and I are standing back and just chucking haymakers at each other. I love it. And now we're laughing about it. Are you ready for the weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Ready to talk sports?
This week just flew by, didn't it? For me?
It did, actually, yeah. I hope that it did for a lot of people.
Yeah,
it did. Hi. Welcome to the program. I'm the host, Rod. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. The producer, Clark, is at the other end of the bunker, and Paul is on his throne in the corner of the room. It's going to be a lot of football talk today because we call it Football Friday. I want to tell you who the guests are going to be. John Frenzy, he is so excited to be joining us from his South Regina estate. He's already been on my Instagram story. Yeah. You saw that. He asked me to come by his house. We filmed a little skit observing at least 6 feet between us. It's on there, but then he's going to be on the phone shortly. Canada's Mel Kiper, Dwayne Ford will be joining us later on from TSN. He is the foremost CFL draft expert. With the draft coming up in the CFL, was it April 30th? 40 is always the guy that knows the prospects the best, knows them personally. I'm looking forward to that. Brian Snow, the sports talk host from Terre Haute, Indiana. Hello! He's going to be on the show today, and he's so excited. I said, what do you want to talk about, Brian? Give me some topics. He said, you lead, I'll follow.
All right.
Talk about the blind leading the blind. looking forward to that. And the guys from Drive the Green Golf. I'm looking forward to that. Mike Lennox is watching. One of our first viewers to chime in today says, shorts, wow, must be warm in Regina. You and I got the same memo.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like 15 degrees this afternoon in Regina.
My legs are as white as that stripe in the middle of your hoodie, your bunny hug right now. Legs day, writes Bill Lothian from Assiniboia. What the hell? I've had enough of winter.
You did all those squats, so you got to show it off.
500 squats in 24 hours. It's not as easy as it sounds. You're on the clock, mister.
I know. I'm going to find out. I know what my afternoon is now.
I was challenged by the former captain of the Prince Albert Raiders, now the chief of Edmonton Police, Dale McPhee, to do 500 squats in 24 hours. Did it. Some of the other guys that have, Chris Dingman's in on that.
Yep.
The former Tampa Bay Lightning and Brandon Wheat King. I nominated you, Cody Fajardo, Jared Dumba, and Frank Kovacs to do 500 squats in 24 hours. So get on it.
Okay.
This is the rollout for Flooring Superstore, and we say good morning to the entire crew at Flooring Superstore and the Dickens. We love them like the Dickens, and I hope that they're doing fine here on day what of the pandemic, Clark? What day is this without? We stopped counting around.
Maybe 30 something.
13. 105, Clark says. It feels like it, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
So as we go to the quick six show topics here for in the rollout for Flooring Superstore, one of those is what a mental tug of war that we're in society, right? It's a mental tug of war. Are they going to play? Aren't they going to play? Is this thing going to end? Is it not going to end? Everybody's got an opinion. Column running on my website right now by Mike Stackhouse. Stackhouse's 10 Thoughts says the premier hinted that there would be no Rough Rider season at his news conference on Wednesday. I didn't watch the news conference. What did he say that would lead you to believe that there's not going to be a CFL season? On the other hand, we see the Riders send out a letter to season ticket holders and stakeholders saying good news is around the corner. So what the hell is it? And are they opening the country? Trump's doing this, but Trudeau's not. And holy smokes, I get a message from a member of my family today that even the country folk are starting to get wiggy. And how could you blame them? You know, if there was anything, we thought the ag people would be fine here because you still got to put the crop in the ground. They've been self-isolating forever for 100 years. You know, it's nothing to sit in the tractor and go around and around and around. That's safe.
Yep.
Price of fuel's never been lower. The cost of borrowing money's never been lower. Beef sales up, grain sales up. What? But it's not that good.
Right.
And how could it be?
I know.
And we're over a month in, and I put it in my column Tuesday. We still don't know where the hell this is going.
No.
And it just seems that it's getting to people.
It is. Yeah, we have no idea where it's going. The uncertainty, right? Especially when flipping the season, because all your plans are coming for the summer. I know that end of winter kind of lull, there's not a ton going on. But when you get into the spring, things start to change. Things start to move forward. And you want to go about your life. You want to start doing these things. But you don't know where your finances are at. You don't know where everything's going. You don't know where sports is at. It's throwing people for a loop.
Yeah. Well, as they say, fear is an illusion. I believe that. I'd like to say that I'm fine and would offer any help that I can. I understand that not everybody's fine. But what's changed now from a week ago, from a week before that, from a week before that, other than funds might be getting tight.
Yeah.
But Big Brother Justin's supposed to be looking after all that. But we won't go down that road. A lot of interesting comments coming in here. From Nelson Hakowicz says, the Prime Minister just announced $500 million for the sports, arts, and culture sector. So if the CFL falls under that funding via Heritage Canada, we could see CFL football without fans. There you go. Government bailing out the CFL. We'll take it. And all of a sudden, people are mad. Why do the sports teams get it? We people should get it. Blah, blah, blah. You know how this is going to go, right?
Yeah,
you know that's going to go that way. My Army friend, Rylan Betker, writes in and says, 500 squats in 24 hours doesn't seem that hard. Hey, we're not all competitive power lifters, Rylan. He's the guy that pulls a freaking army truck by himself.
By himself. And he wanted us to do it last year.
He wanted us to, well, he's huge. So he puts this harness on and pulls a truck. He goes, hey, why don't you and DuPont jump into this harness and pull it? Because with the two of us are the size of him.
Right.
Yeah, and it wasn't that hard, but we did it. Why don't you do it? Moving on. Enough. I feel like I'm the COVID channel, which I tell my wife. Every night when I go to work on my blog, I go downstairs. She goes, put it on 24, CTV Newsnet.
Yep.
And I said, oh, the COVID channel? I've started to call it the COVID channel.
Yep.
This morning when I left, I had on ESPN Get Up on TSN, which they're carrying. And she goes, can you put it to CTV Newsnet? I said, oh, you mean the COVID channel? Which, I want to say this again. These are a bunch of guys and girls giving their opinion on where this is going to go. It's, how many times have I said, you've noticed me say this, don't listen to me. Don't take my opinion. It's just an opinion. You know, when it comes to sports,
yep.
People get all revved up with what I say. And I'm like, don't listen to me. Who the hell am I? They're the same, but they're talking about coronavirus.
Right.
They don't know. They don't know any more than the next boob.
Yeah.
So I don't want to watch it. But she does. She gets, again, she works in an industry where she needs to know what's going on. But I'm not sure she's learning what's going on by watching the COVID channel.
No, entertainment, right? It's entertainment. You want to stay, you know, what you think is the news or what you hope is the situation. But yeah, it's tough.
Tyler Dacu, our social media advisor, writes in and he says, CNN, COVID News Network. Yeah, well, they at least sprinkle in a few other topics. Everything else on CTV Newsnet is nothing but COVID. Anyways, I'm starting to depress myself, so I'm moving on to point two of our quick six show topics. Ricky Ray night on TSN. Did you see that?
I missed it.
Tonight. They've been doing good work at TSN, entertaining the masses. Paul, you don't need to stay on my account.
I love you, baby.
Paul loves me. Yep. We all love each other.
Ten more minutes.
Here's how the fight started. I said to Paul, are you going to get up in the middle of the first segment and leave like you always do? And that's when he freaked out and said, no, I'll stay till the end of the first segment. And then the punches started flying. Oh, it was a rope-a-dope situation. And he's still here, so I'm just telling him, go ahead and leave if you want to go. He looks like he's been scolded and he's standing in the corner.
Good on you.
You know what?
Where's the camera on Paul? Can we get that?
I've been in that chair, and there's nothing you can say when the host is sitting here.
Just dropping bombs.
Oh, yeah. You're in full retreat mode. I've been there.
Tell. There he is. Paul, you're on television. Paul, hi. There's Paul.
Good morning, everybody.
He's at least 6 feet away from Clark, the producer. Anyways, last week it was what they call it, stadium night, I think, on TSN. The last game in Iverwin and the first game in New Mosaic. Tonight is Ricky Ray night. They're building it on TSN. It's a doubleheader and featuring the 2012 Grey Cup and the 2017 Grey Cup, both featuring the Calgary Stampeders. and Toronto Argonauts. I'm not sure how Calgary feels about this because I think they lose both Grey Cups. As a matter of fact, I know that they do. But it's Ricky Ray night. What, you couldn't show the 2005 Grey Cup for Ricky Ray? Or 2003?
Yeah.
Why do you got to have the Argos pummeling my beloved Stampeders for 6 hours on national television? Am I the only one that's... Well, you're loving this,
aren't
you?
I know.
I'm a Stamps guy now.
Right. No, exactly. That 03 one was great. I was there. It was at Edmonton-Montreal, right? And Ricky, yeah. Ricky Ray led Edmonton to that Grey Cup. But yeah, it's fun watching them put together some old games like that. I still can't get into watching them. I'll watch bits and pieces and remember the players, and that's cool. But in terms of hanging into the game, doesn't do it for me.
John Kirby in Edmonton's watching. He says, one of the games should have been from Edmonton. Y'all know he started here, not in Toronto, right? Exactly, John. This is an anti-Edmonton, anti-Alberta bias by TSN. Can we start that going today?
Yeah.
It's Ricky Ray night tonight. Why don't we call it Argo night? On TSN, which actually is probably a good thing for the Argos now that I think about it, which leads me into point three, a rash hate. So we had a rash Madani on last night. I think it's pretty clear, or yesterday. If you watch the interviews and you've listened to me for enough time, you'd know that Arash and I are very close friends and have been for a real long time, going on 20 years. And a guy wrote in, he just lashed out at me. And he's, I'm not going to name him. His name's Matt. He's from Hamilton. There's got to be more than one Matt in Hamilton, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you putting this guy on? I'm never going to watch your show as long as you have Arash Madani. I'm not going to download those shows. And this guy is what's wrong with the coverage of the CFL and Sportsnet's killing the Argos. Well, I think you know me well enough that I'm not going to engage in breathing fire, but I'll debate you. And I said, what? I think Arash is just doing his job. What's the problem here? And he says, well, when TSN and CFL became the you know, the lone broadcast partner, Sportsnet ignores the CFL and Arash doesn't do anything for the CFL. And I said, that's a TSN-CFL problem. That's not a Sportsnet problem. That's not an Arash problem. Right?
Right.
And then he went on, he called Arash a sellout and a traitor. And all these things. And of course, I stick up for my friends, probably almost to a fault, but that is something that I do. And then he ended up deleting all the comments. I thought it was Clark. I texted Clark this morning. I said, did you delete all those comments on there? And he's like, what are you talking about? As he's rubbing the sleep from his eyes. This Matt from Hamilton went and deleted them all himself. And then he wrote me privately on my feed and says, I'm sorry, but I'm very passionate about the Argos and I don't like the coverage that the Argos get in Toronto. I said, well, hey, maybe we can work together. He's in Hamilton, but he sounds like he's an Argo fan. And why are people, why are CFL fans so down on Arash? You're aware of this,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
You've heard of it?
Yeah.
Why would that be?
He was so big in the CFL, like in terms of covering, and he still does. See, I mean, he covers the CFL and breaks news, but I think, yeah, there's, you get a little bit of the bias of, or not bias, but just a little bit. It feels like putting down the CFL. I think they see that because it's not always cheerleaders and pom-poms from Arash. He's real. He reports the news.
He holds them accountable.
He holds people accountable.
And they don't like that.
And he expresses his opinions when he has one. And yeah, people don't like that. But hey, guess what? You're on the network that doesn't have the CFL rights, that doesn't really want you to talk a whole lot of CFL because not a lot of interest there when it comes to the network. So they see that as more negativity when you're not continuing to constantly pump the league, and that's unfortunate.
Well, Craig Smith, our director of scouting, writes in and says, Arash is a friend, but besides that, he's one of the best, true professional, as good as it gets. From Rylan Betker, he says, Arash is killing the Argos? Thought it was the empty stadium, among other things. I know Arash's take on this. It's, hey, I love the CFL, but I'm going to point out where it could be better. The CFL does not like that. But there's a lot of guys at Sportsnet. I'll give you a great example. I'm not going to name them, but I was out one night at either Joey's or Cactus Club or something, Yonge Street, Paul, Maple Leaf Square, wherever, where the name of it, I can't remember. But the guys were like, what are you in town for, by the way? And I said, Riders are playing the Argos, guys. And they're like, the Argos still have a team? Ha, 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 ha. Made me feel this big. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not the problem. You guys are the problem. They don't even follow the Argos. Right. Arash loves the league. Worked in the front office of both the Renegades and the Blue Bombers. You should help. You should be thankful that he cares because yeah, most of these guys and girls don't.
Yeah. Just the
That's
fact
the rub.
That you give airtime or just any of your time, whether it's social media or whatever, talking about the Argos is enough. But we all see the negative stuff. We don't want to have any negative comments about our league, right? But at least he's talking about it. So I agree with you on that. I mean, the other guys, they're not even paying attention.
So, no, not even aware there's a league.
Exactly.
And that's very evident if you watch the sportscast.
Big time.
On Sportsnet and CBC. Colin in Ottawa says, I love Arash, but I wish that he was as critical of the NHL, NFL, and Major League Baseball as he is of the CFL. He needs to hold the American Pro Leagues as much as the CFL. That's fair. Do you understand that Sportsnet does not have the CFL rights? I think if the Sportsnet carried CFL games, Arash might change his tune. That's all part of how your bread is buttered, don't you know?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of comments coming in on that. He loves being a lightning rod, by the way. He loves the heat, which reminds me, that's one major problem with sports right now, not just pro sports. They're a big part of it, but sports in general. They can't handle any criticism whatsoever. None. And it's like, if you criticize them, it's off with your head. And I don't like that. That's why I'm not in a rush to jump back in at all, because it's not fun. It's not fun.
Right.
To have to be told or leashed. It's just not fun. With this show, that's why I say our efforts are going into promoting this show, building this show. That's why I don't spend 2 seconds thinking about what it's going to take for the CFL to play this year or save the CFL. I don't think about it. I've been told enough. Rod, we're good. We got people to do that. So I think about this show. And if you want to rip this show, rip the hell out of it. I love it. That guy writing in, bitching about a rash. Let's go. Let's talk. Let's go. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to the Calgary thing and the Bo Levi. Oh, that stuff sells tickets, man. I mean, look at Hamilton. They are now, because it looks like we're not fighting with Calgary anymore, and I'm okay with it, because I would like to be able to go into that town and not need a police escort. If it's just Hamilton, did you see where our Hamilton ratings went? When that Brandon Banks and Simone thing, like a rocket.
Oh, yeah. Pew!
Controversy sells. So we'll just do it here. And they can go do their thing.
And they can hate it, but they can enjoy the extra ticket revenue and the extra publicity and, you know, people that aren't on your side listening to the other shows in other markets and coming back here and the back and forth. They'll love it. They won't admit that they love it, but they love it.
Brett Taylor's watching in Moose Jaw. He writes in and says, enough Arash, more frenzy, mini sticks, highlight reels. Brett, we'll do the talking. You do the watching. We'll talk about Arash for 3 hours if we want to talk about Arash. But moving on, Lynch will be with us at after the 10:20 break, by the way. NFL draft hype is getting a little nauseating. I've been watching, obviously, ESPN, and it's now on TSN in the mornings, which, by the way, I'm thinking, will, when this lifts, TSN continue to air ESPN get up in the mornings? It's working pretty well now. It's what I was watching all the time anyways, yep. But I don't think Canadians will like it because they never, ever, 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 ever talk about the National Hockey League. CFL, forget it. Unless Johnny Manziel's in the league, which isn't happening, they're not talking about it. So unless you want a daily diet of college football, college basketball, NFL draft coverage at this time of year, Canadians just aren't down.
No.
And I'm not down either. And by the way, it's a week until the draft. Less than a week now, Darren. Can I just remind you of something? 2 years ago, not one of the experts, not one, the Mel Kuypers, the Rich Eisens, the Adam Schefter, not one predicted Baker Mayfield would go number one to the Cleveland Browns.
No, they didn't.
So I'm just kind of sitting there going, what the hell am I watching this for?
I know. And they are trying to predict with accuracy the entire first round and maybe even into the second round. And everybody's picks based on needs. And, I mean, it can get fun if you're into that sort of thing. And, you know, I follow it enough for my team and, you know, where are the Titans going to pick and who are they targeting and what does that mean for the product on the field? Get excited about a guy. But until they draft that guy, I don't get too hyped up in it because, man, I could get so hyped up into one guy and all of a sudden he gets taken 3 picks before and now what do I know? Nothing.
Well, back to point, what was it, one? It's all just coronavirus coverage of college football in the NFL. That's what it is. It's just opinion and nobody's right. That proved to me nobody's right. Nobody knows. Nobody had mole in the Cleveland Browns war room to know they were going to go with Baker Mayfield.
No.
Not one.
Nobody.
These guys get paid to know this stuff.
Yeah. I liked it watching the Kevin Costner movie about it. That
Draft
was
day.
Cool.
That was, I'd rather watch the movie.
Yeah, I would too.
Than the coverage.
Yeah.
It's just something to think about leading into the NFL draft here right now. Nobody really knows, even though they want to tell you that they know. Real quickly here, point five of our quick six show topics. I was kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel for topics, man, as we chug on fumes towards the weekend of sports talk. What was the best Ryder Grey Cup win? Which, by the way, is a topic we could talk about 365 days a year out of here, and a lot of times do. But I've turned that into the poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. It works very nicely. There are four options. 1966, 1989, 2007, or 2013. What was the best Grey Cup? And I got to think about this. But leading on Facebook vote is 2013. 49% of you saying the elation in Ryder Nation. Grey Cup win, absolutely. On Twitter, 58% saying 2013. That leads. 28% on Twitter saying 1989 in what many call the greatest Grey Cup ever. 7% voting for 2007. The go crazy Saskatchewan, go crazy Grey Cup. And 1966, the first, gets 7%. So we'll be voting on that. And point six, CFL draft tidbits. Did the prospects get robbed because the combines were canceled? I want to talk with Duane Ford about that, right? Because 40 is Canada's Mel Kiper. He might actually know more. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Sports date coming up. Sports update coming up. And John Frenzy next. It is the Rod Peterson Show. Facebook Live coming to Game Plus TV Network. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, neighbor. Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua and Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for, just ahead of John Frenzy, time for a sports update. IOC member John Coates believes the postponed Tokyo Olympics can help kickstart Japan's economy. The games were to be held this summer, but were pushed back a year due to COVID-19. Japan could be in a recession when the Olympics open July 23rd, 2021. And Coates says the games could provide an economic stimulus. A second NFL player has tested positive for the coronavirus. Von Miller of the Denver Broncos came forward with his diagnosis to show people how serious the disease is. Earlier, LA Rams center Brian Allen said he'd tested positive for the virus. And track and field's governing body will lead a panel to advise on safely organizing mass gathering events amid the novel coronavirus outbreak. Joining World Athletics will be the International Institute for Race Medicine and officials from cycling, rowing, skiing, triathlon, and the International Paralympic Committee. They'll get input from a member of the World Health Organization's Coronavirus Mass Gatherings Expert Group. That's your Friday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, and their brother bar restaurant, The Tap. And The Tap, just the last couple of days, have opened their kitchen, and they are offering pickup from 4 till 9 p.m. Go to their Facebook page. Their abbreviated menu is on there, but the pizza's on there. Vern's Pizza, T-Rex, I recommend it.
They might have Regina's best poutine.
Oh, They might. Check it out for yourself. Good. And for Red Bull Canada, watch out for the Red Bull Wings team to make an appearance at some of the Rod Peterson Show on location events this summer. Red Bull's launching a new Peach Edition, which is exclusively available at 7-Eleven and Loblaws Superstore and No Frills. Red Bull gives you wings. Let's bring him in, Hall of Fame rider broadcaster John Lynch. Frenzy joining us on the phone line from his palatial South Regina estate. Frenzy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. You just saw me about an hour ago. I look good tonight.
You look great, John. But you were you wearing Rough Rider swimming trunks or underwear that you were trying to show me? I couldn't look. What was it?
It would have been safe.
It would have been safe. I'll take that as a bathing suit. John, let's start here. Our poll question is, what was the best Rough Riders Grey Cup victory? 1966, 1989, 2007, or 2013? What are you voting and why?
I'm going to go surprise you, 2013, because at home here, fantastic setup, but just a beautiful day, as it turned out. It was such a big thing, big crowd, everybody going crazy. We wanted to win so badly, and we did, and we kicked the hell out of Hamilton 45-23.
All right, thank you, John, and that's what I voted for, too. You, Darren, all voted for 2013.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be the runaway winner. So, Frenzy, what are you hearing, man? It's been 2 weeks since we've had you on the air when you predicted divorces, murders,
heart attacks,
and hospitalizations if there's no Rider football. What's been the latest in the last 2 weeks?
Oh, I think things have changed because of what the city's done here. The fans of Saskatchewan cleared this up. There's an epidemic. No case, I don't think, and now coming in new ones. The other ones are being released, and everybody's healthy, so that's great. I think we're doing the best job in Canada, followed by B.C., by Alberta, and Alberta and Manitoba, then B.C., and Ontario. So I think we're going to have that football this year, and we're going to have it right in schedule. The irony of this is we get 3 byes this year, which I don't know we need 3 byes, but this year we can use them. The first week of the year is a bye for us, and I think we can use that bye, get another week to help us get in shape, and we'll. But we're still on pace to go with the dates for the schedule for the games.
Yeah, okay, fair. An hour ago, Lynch, you said that maybe we just go with a West Division and forget Eastern Canada. Have you changed your mind on that, or your thoughts on just a West Division CFL in 2020?
Well, we can't forget about the East. We got to have them playing in Kitchener and Waterloo and London. It's great for Eastern cities.
Yeah. What do you think, Darren?
Well, that's something that could work, John. I mean, I get it. The Western thing, it's that we've kind of flattened the curve or are getting there, and we're able to separate and isolate a little bit easier. So, yeah, it could be good for cities and East. But, yeah, I'm with you. As much as we'd want it out West, you can't forget about Eastern Canada and those teams. But I'm surprised. I think that's very positive for a Friday that you're on board with the season starting on time. I like that.
Or in July, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are you hearing? I asked you about, you know, your old boys club. Those guys are obviously poking their nose around with what they think about the season. Are we, you know, you talk about starting in July, John. Is that empty stadiums, opening the doors? What are you hearing about the CFL in 2020 and for the green and white?
It's a thing that will be filled. But Lippin and the Shepherd and that whole bunch, Penny Shepherd is running things. And you know her, eh?
Yep.
She's Debbie Shepherd, I should say, and she's great. A lot of brains gone there. Her husband is the lawyer, Paul Harrison. So a great bunch of them are meeting today. Well, about 12 of them or 15 of them by Skype, I guess it is. They're going to put some thoughts down on what they think is going to happen. But they think it's going to go. What they agree to, it's going to go. Now, if it's a real disaster and things fall apart, we go back to getting in the mix of the epidemic again, it'd be sad. We'll have to cancel it, which would be very sad. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think we've seen it. It's gone. And it was a terrible experience. And we're going to do our football season. And we're going to have it almost the way it should be, believe it or not, guys. And then it comes to the end of the season. We'll have the Grey Cup in beautiful old Regina, eh?
John Frenzy, by the way, just interrupting, Cooper Campbell, a football scout from Mississippi, is watching, and he says, you guys are doing better than in the United States. He's talking about sports coverage, and I did get a note from a Great Western who said, thank you guys for keeping up the quality content every day, doing a full show, and I said, hey, thank Great Western and the sponsors that are keeping us on the air, because we would not be on the air without the support of all our wonderful sponsors here at the Rod Peterson Show. Now, Frenzy, do you recall your West Division predictions? And are these subject to change, by the way? You gave them to me an hour ago. I assume they're still the same. Once we get playing here, how's it all going to shake down in terms of standings?
The final. I told you it's a final. This is what I figured out sitting down here many days now since I talked to you last week. I've looked at it pretty seriously, and I really believe this. Great race between the Bombers and the Riders for the ninth time only in the history of this league. Riders win. Riders first place, Bombers second. Edmonton third. Eskimos third. They're going to be a pretty good football team. BC Lions very improved with Mike Riley having a great year. And last place, I love to say it, but I really think it's going to happen because they're going to have quarterback pose injuries. Calgary Stampeders in last place. They don't have any backup quarterbacks there. And I think that's just great. Down east, it's going to be Hamilton, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto. Not too hard to choose that one.
What is this, pick on Calgary Day? Wow.
Wow. Pick on Calgary Day. I mean, it's time they got picked on. Look what they've done to us. Look how they've kicked us around. Look at the respect they haven't shown for us.
Well, you know, the respect that they haven't shown for us is beating the Saskatchewan Roughriders. It's so similar to the Patriots. Everybody's expecting the Patriots to go in the crapper since Tom Brady left. Do you not think, John, that John Huffnagel and Bo Levi Mitchell, Dave Dickinson too, would just love your prediction of fifth? And they would want anybody to pile on them and think that they'll finish last place. They would love it. I don't even think they'd be mad.
No, they wouldn't be. They'd be glad because it would give you something to shoot for. But they've had some good ball players there. Huffnagel will be able to pull up that magic hat and pull in some new replacements when he needs them. But he's reached the point now where he's come to the end of his line, I think. Just doesn't have enough horses to do it all. And the rest of the teams are pretty good. And that no backup quarterback is a big, big, big hole.
Well, I think Dakota Prukop would argue with you that no backup quarterback thing. But Frenzy, from that Cooper football guy in Mississippi, he has asked us to ask you your recollections of one Joe 747 Adams. He wanted you to address that. The last time you were on, I forgot to ask. So what do you remember about Joe 747 Adams, the old Rider quarterback?
Well, Frank Philjack was the coach. Adams was a quarterback. He liked ladies and cheerleaders. He kidnapped a couple of them and kept them at his home, which you can't do. Did you know that?
Continue.
On the field, he was terrific. He was sensational. Nice. Really look at the Rider stats. Up in third place in autumn. Only here a couple of years. Phenomenal arm. Phenomenal arm. Could run. Make the big plays. Just not too smart in a critical situation. But too bad because the guy had it all. He had it all. The only thing that beat him was his own brain. And he played in some big games down there at Tennessee State. And in the NFL, he played a couple of big games, too. But then he just would goof off, and they couldn't find him a couple of times. And, you know, that really upsets a team when they can't find their quarterback. So, but he was exciting. One of the most talked-about quarterbacks we've ever had. I'll talk about him in my book.
Oh, you've started a book, eh, Frenzy? Can you tell us about that?
I got to page 33 so far.
What stories have you told so far, and do you have a title for your book?
Lynch tells it as it is. How about that?
I love it. Are you following this,
That's
Darren?
Good, I am now.
Lynch tells it as it is. He's writing his book. He's on page 33. That's fantastic, John. Anything else on that before we move to NFL and CFL draft?
No, I think the CFL is going to survive. I really do. And we're going to come through. Let me get this one off. Like true Canadians, big, 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 and really strong.
Love it. John O'Flynn is watching in North Vancouver. He says, can you ask John his favorite BC Lion or moment? Do you have a favorite moment that pertains to the BC Lions, Frenzy?
Well, it pertains to the BC Lions, yeah, kicking that field goal in 1994 to win the Grey Cup right in front of me.
Were you there?
Yep.
Oh, that was the Stallions Lions Grey Cup 1994. See, they're talking about it a lot, Darren. You got to read that book.
Oh, yeah.
On the Stallions. Frenzy, I told you I was going to ask you, and I almost forgot. The Bald Baron, Ron
Oh,
Barnett.
Yeah, our great buddy Bald Baron has got the epidemic. He's got it. He's better now, though. But, I mean, it makes everybody in Regina that thinking of Ronnie Barnett was not human show you that he is human. He's been down for a week, but he's back now. He's in great shape. He's been down for 2 weeks. You got to go 2 weeks in this quarantine thing. He's back now, and he's back to work and enjoying things. And he's got a new girlfriend, and we're happy as hell for him. He's really enthused, which is good to see.
Wow. 2020, quite a year for the Bald Baron, Ron Barnett, former Rough Riders play-by-play guy who had coronavirus, as John said, was hospitalized, but has recovered, and he's back to work. These were the broadcast pair for the Riders on CKCK in the Lancaster George Reed era, Darren.
Wow.
Think about that. Frenzy, what are your best stories about being in the broadcast booth with the Bald Baron, Ron Barnett?
Oh, the best story for Ron Barnett, being in Edmonton and having to catch the plane and not having a car to do it and not having enough time to get through the final wind-up show. But you know what it's like. You do that wind-up show no matter what, right? We did it. We hustled through it, got downstairs, and got a cab who drove us 120 miles an hour, I think, to get to the airport to catch the plane. Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, I know all about it. The show must go on. Got left behind one time in a stadium. I'll tell that story later, maybe in a couple years. Sherry Petty writes in, Frenzy. She says, my insiders at the time reported Joe Farigelli had to pay off 747's $10,000 bar tab at the Old Gold. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, at the Old Gold and at the Saskatchewan, too. I know that. But you know what? Joe Farigelli, that's what ruined him. He loved those kind of guys. He's just such a good guy himself. Had such a tough upcoming and finally got to be a coach. But he didn't get hard as a coach. He had to be a nice, soft guy again. He saw what Joe went through. Nobody gave him a chance until he got here. And he wanted to give him a chance. So he did. But he had these problems. He liked girls. He liked booze and liked to live. He liked to play football. Didn't like to practice too much and had a lot of thoughts about some plays that he didn't think would work too well. When he had a couple of long plays, I forget who the receiver was, but he and him connected a couple of times for big touchdowns. And the fans loved the guy. They really did. He'll be talked about in the book, that's for sure. And, you know, he did more than one page. The guy was a good quarterback. He was a good guy. Nothing wrong with him. He just enjoyed life. But anything wrong with that?
Lynch, I think you have just sold 1,000 copies to the book. Lynch tells it like it is. Memoirs.
Start taking pre-orders.
Start taking pre-orders. John Lynch is writing a book on his time with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Anything else, Frenzy, before I move on to the NFL draft?
No, I think the CFL's good. I think they're going to handle themselves well, and we're going to be all proud of them, and we're going to win this. We're going to win this great cup. I'm not letting
very positive guy, John Frenzy, this morning. Frenzy, the NFL draft, by the way, what's your interest level on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, this is really something this year. I'd say about a 6. It's pretty low because, I mean, it's going to be really terrible. They're going to be doing it by phone, by telephone.
Yep.
And I don't know how they're going to do all that, especially when you look at the extravaganza for the Super Bowl, extravaganza for the draft last year, extravaganza for the draft 2 years ago. This is not going to be an extravaganza. This is going to be pretty sad, pretty different. They'll get the first round done. I think they'll do the first two rounds. Okay, not too bad. Maybe the next three or four the next day. I don't think they'll go the Saturday. They'll just go the 2 days on the big screen and do the rest in-house, so to speak, because people won't be very interested in that way it's going to go. It's just going to be rather ugly, but the first round will be very interesting. Joe Bowman, the quarterback from Louisiana State, of course, will go to Cincinnati. And Young, that unbelievable defensive end, 16.5 sacks last year from Ohio State, will go to Washington. And the quarterback from Alabama will go to Miami. And after that, it'll be very, very dull, I think, quite honestly.
They've got it all figured out already. That's right. There's no need to even watch. But yeah. We have a bold Lynch prediction. John Frenzy says the Saskatchewan Rough Riders will win the Grey Cup in 2020. In other news, the sky is blue and water's wet. Kenton Keith has checked in from Austin, Texas. He's watching. Good morning, KK. Thanks again for watching. And I'll ask one more question of you, Frenzy, before we let you go. KK, miss you more. Thank you, my friend. I got to get back to Austin and check out KK, what he's got going on down there. Brad Hersina writes in, John, he says, can you talk about Joey Walters and where he fits in with all the great Rider receivers?
Joey Walters. Mike, when I was doing the broadcast, phenomenal football player. Catchable any portion of his body, he'd get his hands on the football, he's going to catch it. Made several sensational fingertip catches, key catches. What you do to help him about him are on the same thing you guys both love. Made the big play. They had the speed, had the moves. We finally got the NFL to Washington and a good career down there. But he loved it in Regina. I've told him, when he's back here last time, he talked to me. He said he wished he would have stayed in Regina because the people were just so great. And he said it was so much fun walking down that mall every day with the people come and talk to you. He said he had lots of girlfriends here, too, which really made his life, and that's not the case where he is now. But he, great football player, great team man, great for the town. Oh, he's up there. He's up there in the top five, top two or three of the top Raiders receivers. We've had some great ones, you know, Fantus and Elgar and Fairholm and Dominguez. this guy's right up there, Stan Williams. You don't know who I'm talking about, you guys, but that's way back in 1952. I'd say he's right up on top three.
I love it. Thank you, Frenzy. And by the way, you're talking about the girlfriends of the guys. What did I say before the show?
Yeah.
You quarantine the players. Where are you going to put the girlfriends? We got to think of everything.
Could crumble the whole league.
Where are we keeping the girlfriends? Frenzy, we're going to let you go. You're in contention for the rock star of the day. Love you. Have a great weekend. We'll chat with you next week.
Okay, guys. Great talking to you. Bye-bye.
John Frenzy, checking in. Hall of Fame writer, broadcaster. And his book, Watch For It In Stores.
Yeah.
John Frenzy tells it how it is. You don't even know what to say to him.
So good. I noticed he didn't try and pronounce Tua Tango Vailoa.
Yeah, Tua, Tua.
He didn't try it.
The Alabama quarterback. Nelson Hakowicz writes in and says, Lynch loves to dive into the girlfriend side of the business of football. Who doesn't?
What was the word count on women girlfriends? It was like 10 or 12 times. That was good.
A football life. Could you imagine a football life with Lynch? And Joe Lazito in New York writes in and says, Rod, thank you for bringing Frenzy into my life. Don't thank me. Thank John. We'll be back with Canada's Mel Kiper. Do we have Dwayne Ford ready?
He's working on it.
CFL on TSN's Dwayne Ford with a little bit of a CFL draft preview coming up. Hang on, everybody. It is a Football Friday on the Rod Peterson Show Facebook Live. Come into Game Plus TV Network and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand dry and inspect every vehicle for a top quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse is a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Football Friday continues. More breaking news, just dipping into hockey for a second. The Winnipeg Jets and defenseman Dustin Byfuglien have agreed to a mutual contract termination, bringing an end to a strained relationship between the team and a former face of the franchise. The NHL and Players Association made the announcement today. The question is he done? Or did he just want out and signing with another team? We'll find out. We continue the football discussion as we bring in the CFL on TSN's Dwayne Ford, longtime friend of ours, and I've always called him Canada's Mel Kiper, draft expert. Good morning, Fordy. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Peterson. How are things?
Very well, thank you. I can't say that you first came on my radar as a draft guru. Well, I knew you as a player, of course, in the CFL, but it was when you were on The Score and you nailed every pick. I want to say the 06 draft-ish for the CFL. Maybe 07. I think it was Fantuzzi's year. And I'm like, wow, this guy's a savant. 40, and it's kept up, by the way. I mean, what's your success when it comes to making draft predictions with such accuracy in the CFL?
Well, you know, the funny thing, Rod, is I'm not much of a prediction guy. You know, there are a lot of guys that like to do mock drafts and things like that. I'm not into mock drafts. I'm into the real thing. I like to see how the real thing turns out, quite honestly. But, you know, I mean, part of the thing in the Canadian Football League is that it's a small league. And so, yeah, there have certainly been a lot of years where, you know, this isn't like a magic trick. I'll let you behind the curtain, where the reality is there are just enough people that'll talk that will let you know what's happening. That there are a lot of years where, yeah, the reality is I could tell you probably the night before the draft, here's exactly how the first round is going to go. Here are the trades that are going to be made, and here's who's going to be picked. But again, that's a factor of it being a small league, not necessarily a piece of magic on my part. I guess my one part in it is that I'm a draft junkie. I love drafts. I love following drafts. I love analyzing drafts and revisiting drafts and, you know, and just looking at what teams did, what they could have done, maybe in my mind, what they should have done. And so that's the role that I play in it. But quite honestly, you know, a lot of times in terms of knowing what's going to happen, is a matter of actually knowing what's going to happen as opposed to guessing what's going to happen.
Right. Well, I know that, but that's why I always wanted to tell you that it's impressed me so much. I'm not a draft junkie. I'm a Hall of Fame junkie. That's the debates that I like to get into, and I'm sure you probably like to get into those too. But the NFL draft's got to be far easier to predict than the CFL draft because of the moving parts of the CFL draft. So we'll talk about that. Can you talk about the nuances between the two? The differences?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things I love. I call this the most unique draft in sports, quite frankly, because of the fact that you look at the National Football League, the NBA, even Major League Baseball, you know, I mean, NHL, in all of those sports, really, when those leagues draft a player, the player is going to play in that league. Whereas in the Canadian Football League draft, one of the points I make about it all the time is that it's the one draft in pro sports where the best player available virtually never goes first overall because of the NFL factor. There's another league where players have an opportunity to get paid a little bit more money. And as a result, oftentimes you will have the best guys going there. And that becomes more and more of a factor with each passing year as, quite frankly, Canadian talent tends to develop further and further. I mean, you look at the schools that Canadian players are playing their NCAA football at now, it's night and day from what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly 20 years ago. The number of guys who are playing at Power Five conference schools and making huge contributions. And so the NFL factor, and certainly the awareness of the National Football League, of the amount of talent coming from this side of the border, when you look at the U Sports kids and recognizing now that, yeah, you know what? This is kind of a gold mine worth scouting as well, which they didn't do much, you know, a couple of decades ago. That it becomes even more of a factor in the Canadian Football League draft. So it's definitely unique in that way. And then one of the other factors as well that causes you to have more variety. You know, again, one of those old adages. You will find more variety between 9 Canadian Football League team draft boards than you'll find between all the NFL draft boards, even though you've got 3 times as many teams, simply because of the factors at play. So again, you've got the best players often being affected by being drafted or signed as free agents or invited to minicamps by National Football League teams. But then you also put into play the fact of the ratio and the fact that each team is going to deploy the ratio a little bit differently. And so if a position isn't a Canadian position, so to speak, on one team, they may not value a certain player in the draft, but that might be the top guy on another team's board simply because he plays a position where they have a Canadian slotted to play. And so you factor in all of these things and it really does become not just a chess match, but a puzzle.
I know you can talk football for days and days and days. I'm going to keep you on probably to the top of the hour, if that's okay, because we have a lot of viewers writing in with questions, but I have several. And my next one is, what's the intrigue that you've identified for the 2020 CFL draft? What are the top stories, top players, that kind of thing, and needs?
Yeah, and you know, again, still sifting through a lot of that stuff over the course of the next couple of weeks. But I think that in any year, I think that you look, as we talked about, is trying to figure out, certainly once the National Football League draft happens and you've got priority free agents starting to sign, then the intrigue for the Canadian Football League draft becomes, well, okay, which guys have signed those contracts? Which guys have been invited to mini camps? And then kind of evaluating, okay, what are their odds of sticking down there and for how long? You know, a lot of times you'll still draft a guy high knowing that he's going to be in a National Football League camp. You won't have him for the first half of this year. You may not have him for a year, but it's a question of, am I willing to wait a year? Am I willing to wait a year and a half? Am I willing to wait 2 or 3 years in deciding how high I'm going to draft a guy? And so there's certainly that element. You know, one guy who a lot of people would claim as one of the top guys available in this draft is Carter O'Donnell, offensive lineman from the University of Alberta. Played very well against some of the top players in NCAA football in the Shrine game. And so that has very much put him on the NFL map. And very athletic guy, you know, 6'5", over 300 pounds. You know, prototypical offensive lineman, obviously. And a guy that a lot of people think, oh, here's a guy who, yeah, typically would be a number one overall pick type up here. But depending on what happens with him in the National Football League, it raises the question of how high will he actually go? At what point in the draft is someone going to take a guy like Carter O'Donnell? So that's a big part of it. For me, one of the storylines as well, you always hate to do it because as a draft guy, as a fan of the league, because there are so many good Canadian players out there that you want to spend your time talking about who is here and who is available and who is going to play in the Canadian Football League. But at the same time, I think one of the storylines for me this year is, in fact, looking at the National Football League draft and realizing that you've got a couple of kids who are the best Canadian prospects in Neville Gallimore, the defensive tackle from Oklahoma, and Chase Claypool, wide receiver from Notre Dame. Those guys are from Ottawa and from the Vancouver area, respectively. These are guys that are going to go, you know, probably, I would guess both probably by the second round of the National Football League draft. And so you look at taking talent like that out of our Canadian Football League draft, yet still having a pretty good looking draft pool as well.
Wow. I was just going to ask you that. Craig Smith, who you'd know well, thinks that Chase Claypool will go by the end of the second round of the CFL draft. Mm-hmm. Somebody will take a flyer on him because he's just so good. But all those Canadian guys, they're not necessarily coming back anymore 40 like they used to. Have you seen a shift there?
Yeah, well, I think part of it is that you're seeing guys last longer down there, certainly. You know, there's not just the cup of coffee. Obviously, guys are going to pursue that as long as they can. And economically, obviously, we understand the differences between the two leagues as much as we wish that it were different. But yeah, if a guy is able to get a few years down there and make pretty good money, and if he can get to a point of earning his pension down there, then obviously that's something they're going to try to do. And we're not going to begrudge anybody that either. You know, so yeah, there are a lot of times where guys aren't coming back, and it is an economic thing, certainly. You know, as far as Claypool going by the end of the second round, it becomes interesting. You always look for comparables in things like this. And I go back to 2012 draft, I believe it was, and it was a pretty good defensive line class that year. Realistically, the best player in that draft class, with all due respect to Ben Heenan going first overall, to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, good Saskatchewan boy, it was Tyrone Crawford, defensive lineman from Boise State. He's from Windsor, Ontario, but ends up being a third round pick, I believe, to the Dallas Cowboys that year. Tyrone Crawford didn't go at all in the Canadian Football League draft, which I looked at as sort of a testament to how good a player Tyrone Crawford was, that nobody saw fit through the entire CFL draft to even take a chance on him. Because normally, as you said, at some point, somebody is going to take these guys just to have the rights because they're such good players. For me, you know, I do think that there are some decent receivers in this draft that I'm not sure, as good as Chase Claypool is, I'm not sure that somebody takes a shot at him that high simply because it could be a while.
Do the draft gurus in Canada have it right? Jordan Williams from East Carolina, the linebacker, is the number one prospect, you think, to Calgary, or have you identified somebody else?
You know, I look at it a little differently, and I love the work that all the other guys do covering the draft. It's exciting to me, and I'll apologize in advance for going off on a bit of a tangent here, but I've had this conversation a couple of times this year that, you know, for me, I've been to the CFL Combine, covered the draft every year since 2005. And I am quite confident that I'm certainly the only media guy that has done that. When I started off, I was kind of the only guy covering the draft. But as a guy who loves drafts, I love the fact that lots of other people are covering it, lots of other people are writing about it. Jordan Williams is unique, and this is one of the things that I think makes him such a good prospect. You know, the draft, a lot of times for me, it's, again, it's football economics. It's supply and demand. What makes Jordan Williams unique is that athletically, I would say you get a linebacker like Jordan Williams who may come along, you know, once every 5 years. This is a guy who is one of the fastest players in the draft at 220 pounds, one of the strongest players in the draft. Just no question, he's an elite athlete. And this is one of the things that you'll find divides, you know, is kind of the dividing line for Canadian linebackers, very good Canadian university linebackers, in terms of being able to be starters in the Canadian Football League or special teams players. Jordan Williams is so unique, so athletic in that regard. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to sort of pick up the nuances of the CFL game. This is a guy who didn't grow up here, hasn't experienced Canadian football much. So there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, but he's a guy who's been through that before. But supply and demand, and, you know, obviously the fact of maybe thinking in terms of, you know, we've had Alex Singleton as a Canadian middle linebacker who can change the ratio. We've had Corey Greenwood as a Canadian linebacker who allows us to do that. That in some ways, yeah, for Calgary, certainly that makes sense. I'm not convinced necessarily that Williams goes number one overall, but I can certainly see where that reasoning comes from.
This is going far too fast. I got to get to the viewer questions.
Talk too much. I know.
No. It's just people are just like hanging on everything because nobody else is talking about it. From Brad Hercinus, is Dwayne, who were the biggest busts in the CFL draft over the years? You want to go down that road?
Oh, that's a tough one for me. I don't necessarily like to go busts as much because it sounds very personal and insulting. You know, and I don't want to do that in a realm where I prefer to be promoting the players, but you know, there have definitely been some bad picks, and I've told some of those stories in the past. You know, there was one year, 2007, I believe, where the Edmonton Eskimos took a kicker, Warren Keane, second overall in the draft, but then continued on in that season to trade another first round pick to Toronto to get Noah Prefontaine to help solve their kicking woes. And, you know, I think that whether Sean Fleming ended up coming back out of retirement or something, but they went through a lot of issues with it that year, that to have picked a guy second overall. And a lot of times, you know, this is why sometimes, Rod, I don't like to get too involved in the speculation of what's going to happen in a small league, because I think sometimes people pay attention to the speculation, or they think anything you speculate on that you're speaking from a point of knowledge, where that's not always the case. Sometimes speculation is just speculation. I think Edmonton picked Warren Keane second overall because they really thought that somebody else was going to take him high. And this was a player, you had the need for the player at the position, but the fact is you could have gotten the player probably at least a couple rounds later because nobody else was actually going to take him. So that's one that I'll put out there. Sorry to offend the kicking community, and it has nothing to do with Warren Keane himself. It's just a matter of you want to get the most out of your picks, and why take a guy that high in the draft that you could get later.
Right, but you've hit on something very important. It depends on the landscape of the league at the time. Now we're flush with kickers. There's too many kickers for teams. And back then, there weren't enough kickers, right?
Yeah, well, and one of the things I'll point out too, and again, over years of doing this, I have come up with certain, not going to call them, you know, rules necessarily in my mind, but almost guidelines that I've come to go by just through a kind of a history at this point of covering the draft. Is one of the ones for me is don't use high picks on kickers. You know, the only one that you've seen a handful of kickers picked in the first couple of rounds of the draft over the last decade or so. And I would say realistically, the only one that has worked out relative to where he has been picked has been Rob Maver, who was picked in the first round. I think Rob was fifth overall to Calgary in 2010. But the reality is Calgary had a need for a kicker that year. And so that was why they made that move to go early. But the fact is, Rob Maver ended up ultimately being a punter in the Canadian Football League. He was seen as a guy who could do all three jobs. And given the opportunity, I think Rob could have done all three jobs. But Rob ended up being a punter, being one of the best punters in the Canadian Football League during his entire career. But the reality is that when the Calgary Stampeders drafted Rob, they drafted him because they needed a place kicker. And so even that, when you say, well, it worked out that they picked him, the guy played with the team for a decade. Yeah, but he wasn't doing the job that they picked him to do. You look around the league, most of the kickers in the Canadian Football League, most of the Canadian kickers, some of them very good, are guys, whether they've come through junior football or have been free agents, later round picks. Some of the guys who have been higher picks, like a guy like Hugh O'Neill, sometimes those guys have had to bounce around for a while. So, you know, maybe spending too much time on the Warren Keane thing, I will just close by saying you don't need to pick kickers high in the draft, because I almost don't think there's enough of an understanding of the position for it to make sense that a lot of times good guys will shake down.
You're so Canadian 40. Apologize. Tripping over yourself. Apologize. Stop apologizing.
I don't want
to hurt
anybody's feelings.
Yeah, exactly. People are loving it. But in the minute that we have left, Nelson wants to know which prospect can make the biggest impact right away this season in your mind.
Wow, that's a tough one for me, because, again, it depends so much. And I hate to skirt the question, but it depends on who comes available, right? You look at some of the offensive linemen, again, going back to Carter O'Donnell at the University of Alberta. Here's a guy who could probably step in and play. Tomas Jack Kudaila from University of Buffalo, probably a guy who could step in and play. But I'm not sure if these guys might have NFL opportunities that will prevent them from being there at the start of the year. And then obviously, even if they're released after training camp and come north, once you've missed camp, it becomes a little bit tougher to jump right into a starting position when you've missed camp and the background learning of that and so on. And so it's a tough question, but how about we check in a little bit closer to the draft? I might have an answer for you on that one.
Oh, perfect. Good. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this as much as we have, right, guys?
I certainly have. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
And I think we could go longer next time. We'll see. But this has been great. My best to the family. Sherry, of course, and the rest. Stay safe, Dwayne. Great to see you. And we'll chat soon.
Thank you, Rod. Always a pleasure, my friend.
CFL draft guru Dwayne Ford from the CFL on TSN. Coming up in hour two of this Football Friday, the snowman, Brian Snow, sports talk host from Terre Haute, Indiana. Hello! And the guys from Drive the Green Golf. We're going to talk some golf too, right?
Good.
Looking forward to that. It's been a great program so far. We're halfway done. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, coming to Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Hi neighbor, Bruce Axelson from the Capital Automotive Group. In these challenging times, we've taken the proper precautionary measures to ensure our dealerships are safe, comfortable places to visit. We've also made adjustments to make shopping and servicing easier for you, including at-home test drives, service pickup and delivery at no extra charge, and we increased our shuttle services to better serve you and your family. We'd like our community to know that we're here to serve you however we can. The Capital Auto Mall. We're at the corner of Rochdale and Pasqua in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators. Within the programming, the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.